You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to River Cafe Table 4, a production of iHeartRadio and Atomize Studios.
My good friend, Ivan Wirth, the Swiss gallerist, co-founder of Hauser & Wirth, and I met through a mutual admiration and love for the artist Philip Guston. I grew up in Woodstock, New York, where Philip and his wife, Musa Meyer, were close friends of my parents. When some years ago the Guston estate chose Hauser & Wirth to represent them, Ivan and his wife, Manuela, came to tea. We began talking that day about art and food and family, and we really haven't stopped since. Having one restaurant, I personally cannot imagine having a gallery, but not only does Ivan have 15 galleries all over the world, he has 4 restaurants, a farm shop, 2 hotels, and soon a bar and a restaurant in the center of London. How does he do it all? Honestly, I don't know. But maybe after this conversation about family and food, I will. Let's begin with Grouse.
Thank you, Ruthie. Well, I'm going to read to you one of my favorite recipes, roast grouse with Chianti Classico. It serves 4, so you need 4 grouse. 8 plum tomatoes, peeled, 4 thick slices of sourdough, 2 tablespoons sage leaves, 8 sprigs of thyme, 200 gram unsalted butter, 0.5 liter Chianti Classico. You have to preheat the oven to 220 degrees. Stuff each of these birds with sage, thyme and butter, season well. Put the grouse in a buttered pan, breast side down. Roast for 5 minutes. Turn them over, add the wine, tomatoes, and cook for 15 minutes. Baste, adding the bread to soak up some of the juices, roast for another 10 minutes. Then remove the grouse, tomatoes, and bread from the pan, add the butter and wine, and over a high heat reduce. Serve each bird on the tomato bruschetta with the sauce poured over.
Thank you, Ivan. And I was so thrilled that you wanted to have grouse as your recipe. Why is that?
It's something that I actually discovered in Britain, and it comes from largely from Scotland now, or Yorkshire. It's seasonal. So it's not like fish, or, you know, it's seasonal. It's the winter, the fall, the winter, a bit like mushroom. I fell in love with the taste.
I love the food of autumn, don't you? Because it's kind of, people always say summer food, it's so perfect and so, but I think for cooks, the actual experience of autumn when it comes to white truffles, the porcini, the grouse,
it all comes together.
Do you remember where you had it the first time? Was it in a restaurant or someone's home?
No, actually, I had it at somebody's house. Yeah. And it was interesting because half the guests didn't want to touch it, and they were not vegetarian, and they said no, thank you, and they got chicken.
There's something fantastic about eating a whole bird, isn't there? Something that when you get the bird on your plate with the bones and the experience of having serving somebody on their plate.
And you work for your food, and you really have to be biting off the bone.
Yeah. You started very young with your first gallery, didn't you?
16,
what year? What year
86.
Was that? 86.
I started to sell art, and what really I realized very quickly was that to share the bread with an artist or with a client, it's the way to people's hearts. You know, really, the most important critical moments in my life in that were good, the positive one, were usually about having a meal, sharing a meal,
Yeah. And would that be in a restaurant?
Or? And that would Well, it was early on. It was, and now, of course, it's been sometimes it's in studios and we share, but it's about food.
Yeah.
And break the bread with someone, eat, have lunch, dinner, a pig, whatever, and you have a glass of wine. People speak from their heart.
I agree, and it tells you so much. We were talking about how very often people will want to take a date, or if they meet somebody, they'd like to go to a restaurant because sitting at a table or at home, the way someone eats tells you a lot about the person.
My passion for eating and food and drink was something that I discovered in the artists I liked. And it can be very different, you know. It rarely ever is about Michelin type of food. Yeah. It's not. Some are more passionate, but what they all share is this intimacy, which is a controlled intimacy because you sit on a table with someone.
Yeah.
They love that. But I, coming from Switzerland, working with some of the Swiss artists, the food was integral part of their being, even the work.
Yeah.
You know, one of my heroes was Dieter Roth.
Yeah.
And he made from the 60s on art out of food.
Yeah. Also, do you think that there's something about working in your studio all day, that solitariness of working as, you know, I know that in New York, a lot of the abstract expressionists and a lot of the young painters of the 70s, where they went to Max's or to the bars, you know, and they congregated there and there was a lot of drinking and a lot of food. Do you think that that's part of that also, getting together and sharing and being around a table and talking as well?
I mean, being an artist is largely a lonely...
It's a solitary...
A lonely, solitary profession.
Yeah, yeah.
And particularly, I find that painters are more lonely or solitary than sculptors or other because you work in a team. You have a team. And so I think the reason some of the great painters today have people that are around them is, of course, to help them.
Yeah.
Because it's complicated, you've got to be, you know, it's not just making the work now. The world's gotten more complicated. The shows are all over the world. There's logistical reasons, but there's also about solitude, being lonely, and some artists have and I've seen some beautiful kitchens in studios.
Yeah.
No, it really is phenomenal. When I go to Mark Bradford's studio, he has an interesting relationship to food. I wouldn't say he doesn't cook.
Mm.
He's really LA. Mm-hmm. He orders or he goes to Mexican restaurant, or he has some of my favorite meals there is when when the Lopez family that work with him is an entire clan, a family, when the father comes and he cooks a Mexican lunch and it's the grill and it's the sauces and it's like, oh God. Yeah. But he also has a kitchen.
Yeah.
And then, or was Fisher, who has a passion about food, has published cookbooks of other people. Yeah. It's quite the common denominator.
Yeah. And our mutual friend, Philip Gustin, used to come. They had a teeny tiny little kitchen, I remember that. But they ate beautifully. When he went there, there was always a very simple way of eating, but he loved food. And they came to my parents' house a lot to eat. They would call up in the afternoon and Philip would say, Sylvia, I'm coming for supper, and you know, but he was our link, and that's how we first met, was when you came to see the Gustins. As I was saying, the relationship between art and food, and I have to say, your galleries and food. And so is there anyone else who has a gallery in Los Angeles and opened up Manuela's, which is a fantastic restaurant, downtown LA.
Great compliment. And great. All the art, to you. Our artists eat
for great compliment
free.
To you. Talk about art and food. Who else would, for their 50th birthday, have a cookbook as a present, which I think all your friends in every city, Manuela really orchestrated this.
I was
lucky enough to be asked to participate. And it's one of my favorite cookbooks because it does actually combine, you know, food and love, doesn't it? Every page is a recipe, but every page is about a relationship that you have with food and with your friends. And so how do you feel when you look at this book and see?
Oh, I was crying when I got it. So I got Manuela secretly started 2 years before my 50th birthday, which was last year.
Mm.
The concept of this was she invited and you were one of them, very kindly, beautiful, to contribute to this cookbook, a recipe that was meaningful to them. She then organized dinners in the places we were. They cooked one of the recipes. So this community that we've built up over the last 30 years together came together. Yeah. And the book shows pictures from it. It shows the recipes. It's very touching. I have goosebumps every time I look at it.
Well, it's not.
And then everybody, for some people, it was the last
meal
they had together. That was, so when people got the book during COVID, I sent it out to you and everybody that contributed. They said they felt the same. And so you see how important for everyone it really is.
Tell me about early childhood in Switzerland.
Well, I grew up in the mountains, near the mountains, the sort of pre-Alps, in the Tockenburg, particular area. My father is from Appenzell, which is a mountainous area in Switzerland. It's where cheese comes from. And, you know, the Bischofberger ads, it's always the Appenzell in the folk art. And my mother is Italian, half Italian, and her family, the Italian family, is from the Alps, from the Dolomites, from northern Italy. So the mountains and wilderness, if you like, played a big part in my life.
Was cooking a big thing in your house? What did they cook?
In Switzerland, you go home over for lunch. It has both sides. I mean, it keeps the mothers at home, but it was, of course, also everybody got together three times a day. So we came home for lunch, with breakfast, we came home for lunch, and come home for dinner. So it's not the day school. And that meant that there was always cooking. My mother she would work and cook, and it all happened at the same time.
What was her work? Working mom. What was her work?
She was a teacher.
Right, so she would come home from teaching.
She would work half time, or she's been going through. She was a passionate teacher all her life. She, in the end, taught refugees, kids, German, but no cooking and food. And my grandfather, my grandfather, this is one of the earliest memories, really. That generation of Italian immigrants in Switzerland didn't want to be Italian. The only thing he would still do is the cooking was a lot of Italian and the swearing. But he wouldn't speak Italian. He wouldn't speak Italian to anyone. So I only remember him swearing in Italian. But they came before, they came just before the First War. So turn of century came.
So they cooked the food of the Dolomites of northern Italy.
Well, I remember him doing risotto risotto in the kitchen. And so I have more memories, interestingly, of cooking and food in a way about my grandparents than about home. Because home was just part of life. But my grandfather's home, there was also a great tradition. Friday was apple tart with a soup or fish, and then you had the
Your grandfather was in the kitchen cooking. That's
cooking.
Unusual, isn't it, for an Italian man?
Well, only on the weekend.
Oh, okay.
He was from a family of stonemasons, and so he had a small construction company. But the weekend, it was a ritual, and we lived, from the moment we lived in his town again, we were living elsewhere in Switzerland. When we came back, we went there regularly, on the weekends, and that was just one of the smell, the taste, the smell, and him doing the risotto was.
That's a beautiful memory. Is that what you say? And what about the Swiss side? What would you, if you would have risattos and Italian food, what did you have from the Swiss part of your family?
My father was a mountaineer. He was an architect and still is. My father's still alive, but he was a very, a mountaineer. He was a early member of the Alpine Club. He was then a president for many years of the Eastern section of the Alpine Club. Retired this year, last year. So it's the food of the mountain huts.
What is that?
So it's the food of the mountains. The Alpine Club has hundreds of huts. I don't know how many, but all over the Alps. And as a member, you can stay and eat. And it's cooked by dedicated people that live there for a season. And it's very basic food. So one of my favorite dishes of all time is this barley soup that is the Gerstensuppe.
That's how I grew up.
What is in it? Is it no meat? It's just barley.
It has dried meat in it.
Of dried meat.
Yeah. So it's barley. It's got some herbs. It is a broth. Hmm. And the dried meat comes in the end. It's very rich. And a bit of milk or cream. Huh. Cream. Yeah. So it's a very rich soup, one of the most delicious soup. I mean, yeah. I grew up on these type of soups. And when you arrive in your hut, you have a sandwich on the mountaintop, but then you go back to the hut and that's the soup. It's because they can prepare it and heat it up a few times. Yeah. So it's amazing.
That's a kind of amazing image to think of. Would you have the soup out of the mountains as well? Would you have it when you weren't hiking for the last 12 hours? And would you sit down to a soup like that at home?
No, we'd still do. I mean, if I go back to Switzerland now and we go to the mountains and you arrive and you want to have a lunch or something small, something basic, I would have a Gerstensuppe. Yeah. So it's like a great plate of... It's a bit like a pasta, like a spaghetti. Yeah. You know, it's not that easy to make it good.
Yeah.
It's very basic, but you got to be precise.
That's what we know, isn't it? The fewer ingredients you have. You've never attempted it?
No.
Oh.
No. No, I couldn't do it. No, it's some dishes that are so connected with a place, you would not go near it.
So often you come here with your children for dinner. You come to my house with your children. Tell me about cooking as a family.
So the kitchen is the heart of our house. Mm-hmm. So Manuela, being a cooking instructor, but before she joined the gallery, she's the master of ceremonies.
I didn't know that.
She cooks. She's an extraordinary chef. Yeah. And so she would orchestrate all five of us. Mm. Everybody can contribute to what is cooked today. That's the first question in the morning. Is what are we cooking for supper? So, it's extraordinarily important. It's where everything's being discussed. It's very old-fashioned. Mm. I mean, that's Manuela. Nice. She lost her father young. Her mother, Ursula, worked, and he had two siblings, and Ursula didn't come home for lunch, unlike my mother, because she worked. And Manuela cooked. There's great pictures of Manuela standing in a little stand cooking for the siblings. And so it's a critical, integral part of the well-being of our family. And what we do now is very strange. If twice a week, or as we feel... Two kids are not here. They're studying in America, the oldest two in America. So when we are doing dinner, we FaceTime them and they sit and we put them on the glass and they are there. Scotland, the kitchen is this marvelous, marvelous big room. And it's got a big table where we eat and another big table where we cook and an open fire. And so we love doing that. And one of the highlights of my early life, childhood, was actually going to the woods. And I was a Boy Scout. Manuela was a Boy Scout too, by the way. So we would camp and we would cook on the fire. And so that's still, to me, an absolute highlight. And the sausage, the veal sausage, or the cervela, which is a pork sausage, we would, when I'm in Switzerland, I take them over. And I love the English sausages and we have occasionally them, but you can't put them on a stick.
Yeah. Yeah.
They follow, so you need a grill. The Swiss sausages you can really put on a stick. So we would go down in the woods in Somerset and do once a week if weather allows. And during COVID, it was three times a week. We do barbecue in the woods.
Fantastic.
And then the kids grew up, and to this day they do it. They do the snake bread. Okay, and Manuela, in fact, her grandfather and grandmother were bakers. They had a bakery.
There you go.
So, I mean, it's in the family. It's I don't like baking so much, and I really don't like making Christmas cookies.
No, okay.
But the kids are crazy about it.
That's nice. Well, they are. I think, again, the connection, doing something together, the family being together, eating together, the process. The idea that you sit down to dinner and you FaceTime, because of the connection.
It really is. Yeah. It's so beautiful. We have, and we show the food and we share the pictures and we send pictures of each other. Both they make spätzle.
Yeah.
Elias loves doing spätzle.
How did you find being in lockdown? You had your children with you every day.
Oh, we were very lucky. We were in Somerset on the farm. Mm. And our lockdown project was Manuela's dream of a farm shop that we opened now.
Tell me about the farm shop.
So it's almost a social practice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an entrepreneurial approach. We invite small businesses from the area to come up with ideas for products, or they have products and we sell them there in addition to our own.
Right.
It's a community farm shop.
Yeah.
And we sell a lot of produce from farmers as well and producers, small local producers. Mm. Then we have some Swiss essentials we have two Swiss cheeses. So one from where we are from and another one from New York State.
So beautiful. The idea that you go to a city, you go to the country, you go to the wilds of Scotland, and you create a link through food. And so food is connection, food is memory of your time in Switzerland and your grandparents. And of course, it's also a comfort, isn't it? And so my last question to you is, what is your comfort food?
My comfort food is a dish, I'm afraid it's a Swiss, I think it's a very Swiss dish. It's called Birka Müsli. So it's a muesli.
Yes.
I need comfort food sometimes for breakfast, sometimes a lunch, or sometimes for dinner. And it's one of the few dishes that you can really eat any hour of the day. You can, and the peninsula in LA used to have a Swiss chef, and it was always the best muesli in America. And I got there and I had it literally any time of the day. But it's hard to make it right. It's a bit like the parsley soup.
Of course.
And it lasts all day.
Yeah.
It's for me and Alma, actually, my daughter, put it in here our cookbook, the 50-year cookbook.
Yeah.
So it's the muesli, the Swiss Birka Müsli. Mm. And that will be my comfort food.
I'd love to share it with you one day.
I'd be happy to try and make one for you. I can do it, actually.
Okay.
I can do it.
I'll be there. Thank you, Ivan. It's beautiful.
Thank you, Ruthie.
I love
pleasure.
You. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
To visit the online shop of The River Cafe, go to shoptherivercafe.co.uk.
River Cafe Table 4 is a production of iHeartRadio and Atomize Studios. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Set sail and save right away when you book your next Disney cruise vacation with UndercoverTourist.com. Undercover Tourist is your secret for savings on all Disney Resorts vacations. And now, fun in the sun with Disney Cruise Lines. How about enchanting entertainment or an exclusive visit to Castaway Key? Anything's possible aboard a Disney cruise vacation. Book now with UndercoverTourist.com, an authorized seller, and get a free in-room decor package with your Disney Cruise Line booking. Plus, exclusive savings at checkout. UndercoverTourist.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.